I welcome you back to another week of our 4.5 year verse-by-verse journey through all of God's inspired Word. We're currently in 1 Samuel chapter 22, during that 18-month period or so when David is on the run from King Saul, waiting for everything to play out for him to become the next king, and still not take his own hand against the current anointed one. And we'll talk more about that in a couple of the stories that are coming up. Now, at this juncture, David has escaped from Saul, went to Samuel, went to the high priest, came to the city of Gath, and apparently got recognized there, and was about to be captured by the king of Gath, so he faked insanity and got out of there and finally gets to where he was originally going, evidently, to meet his men at the cave of Adullam, or the fortress, the stronghold that is near the city of Adullam down in the wild country, shall we say, of Judea. Chapter 22, the first few verses said this: David departed from there, escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. Everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was bitter in soul gathered to him, and he became captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. So David has become a leader in exile, a leader in hiding. And some of the people that are not happy with the kingship of Saul have figured out where David is at, and they have come and joined forces with him. Now, these are military types that we're talking about. They may be bringing their families with them. It would appear that that's the case later. And David and they are just basically biding their time at this moment. Now, we already heard that he had about 400 guys with him at this initial moment that he was at the fortress of Adullam. Now, we had a little note here, starting in verse 3. David went up from there to Mizpah of Moab. He said to the king of Moab, "Please let my father and my mother stay with you till I know what God will do for me." And he left them with the king of Moab, and they stayed with him all the time that David was in the stronghold or in the fortress area. So the mother and father of David are going to be in Moab for quite some time. Then the prophet Gad said to David, "Don't remain in the stronghold. Depart, go into the land of Judah." And so David departed and went into the forest of Heret. Now that's where we left off last time, is that David has this prophet that has joined him named Gad. And Gad warns him, you need to abandon this site and move deep into the forest of Heret. Now, if you've got a map of the Promised Land from around this time that has some of these things, you can find the city of Adullam, probably. It's south and west of the modern city of Jerusalem. It is on the fringe of the Valley of Elah, where David killed Goliath many years earlier. About a couple of miles to the east and southeast of Adullam, there is some higher land that was at this time very heavily forested. And that seems to be where the prophet Gad tells David he should hide out. So he's in an area that is north and a little bit west of Hebron. and southwest of Bethlehem, out in the wilds. Other people, though, are hearing that David has escaped from Saul and is, in effect, becoming the leader of a resistance movement to this tyrant, King Saul. Now, it feels weird to talk about Saul, who was anointed as king by Samuel the prophet, as a tyrant. But that is exactly what he has become. It is exactly what God warned them would happen if they were to get the type of king that they really wanted at the time. So this is a really horrible period in the early kingdom of United Israel. And so David is the leadership in exile. And over in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, there is lists of people who join David in his resistance movement. And one of the earliest groups are those from across the Jordan River in the annexed territories of Gad. Let me read to you from 1 Chronicles chapter 12, starting at verse number, 8 is where I want to start. From the Gadites, there went over to David at the stronghold in the wilderness. So this is before they moved into the forest. Shortly after David arrived there, probably around the same time that David had taken a trip over to Moab and taken his mom and dad to safety. There came from the Gadites mighty and experienced warriors, expert with shield and spear, whose faces were like the faces of lions and who were as swift as gazelles upon the mountains. So here we have a bunch of Gadites that decide that they want to support David rather than King Saul. And then it names them. It says, Ezer is the chief, Obadiah the second, Eliab third, Mishmanah fourth, Jeremiah fifth, Attai sixth, Eliel seventh, Jonathan eighth, Elzabad ninth, Jeremiah tenth, Makbani 11th. These Gadites were officers of the army. The least was a match for 100 men, and the greatest for 1,000. These are the men who crossed the Jordan in the first month. So that's the first month of the Jewish year. It's the springtime. Apparently, this is the time when David is at the stronghold. When it was overflowing all its banks and put to flight all those in the valleys to the east and the west. So this is the first group of reinforcements to join David at the cave or fortress or stronghold of Adullam. And then he and they all move into the forest of Helek. Meanwhile, 1 Samuel 22, 6. Now Saul heard that David was discovered, meaning somebody has ratted him out, that he was at the stronghold at Adullam. And that's why Gad, through the power of the Holy Spirit, told David it was time to move, because Saul knows where he's at now. The men who were with him, Saul was sitting at Gibeah under the tamarisk tree on the height with his spear in his hand, and all his servants were standing about him. So he is at his throne, at his capital city of Gibeah. And he's got his spear in his hand, just like he apparently always has it in his hand, because he seems to be a little paranoid. No, let's not sugarcoat it. He's a lot paranoid. And that comes out in the next thing that he says. Saul said to his servants who stood before him, "Hear now, people of Benjamin, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards? Will he make you all commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, that all of you have conspired against me? No one discloses to me when my son makes a covenant with the son of Jesse. None of you is sorry for me or discloses to me that my son has stirred up my servants against me to lie in wait as at this day." Now remember, only a matter of days, probably a few weeks now, previous to this, Jonathan had tried to speak up for David and almost got killed by his father. His father called him an SOB and said, the only way you're going to be able to be a king on the throne is if we kill David, because otherwise he's going to take the kingdom and we'll all be dead. Now, Jonathan doesn't believe that, and so he tries to stand up for David, apparently keeps standing up for David throughout the period of time that followed that. And so here is Saul complaining to his assembled leadership council. All of you failed to tell me my son was on David's side until I had to find out the hard way. In fact, I think all of you are on David's side. And why do you think you're going to get anything out of him? Does he have the political power to give you stuff? No, that's me. So you can appreciate the tyranny of Saul at this point in his kingdom. He's about 18 years into his kingdom at this point, by my calculation. And he's insane with power. And he wants his people to give him their allegiance and help him get rid of David and anyone that's on David's side. No one appears to want to talk at this moment. And so that's why we have a man that we saw in a story earlier suddenly speak up. Then answered Doeg the Edomite, who stood by the servants of Saul. Now remember Doeg? He is apparently chief of the shepherds for King Saul, so he doesn't appear to be a military guy. He was at Gibeon, at the tabernacle, when David showed up and got a little bit of assistance from the high priest and got the sword of Goliath and saw David interacting with the high priest. So this guy now sees an opportunity to curry favor with his king, maybe even get a promotion. You know, because being the chief of the shepherds, that's okay, but it's not going to really promote you in the kingdom. You need to be in the military. So this guy is not an Israeli either. He's an Edomite. So this is what he says. I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub. He inquired of he who is for him and gave him provisions and gave him the sword of Goliath, the Philistine. So he rats David out for something that happened a couple of weeks earlier. Then the king sent to summon Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house. The priests who were at Nob, and all of them came to the king. So King Saul sends an urgent order just a few miles over to Nob, which is apparently the place where the priests live when they're at the Gibeon tabernacle. And he wants all of the priests that are there to come into his presence at the capital city of Gibeah. Once they arrive, Saul said to them, specifically to the high priest, "Hear now, son of Ahitub." And he answered, "Here I am, my lord." And Saul said to him, "Why have you conspired against me, you and the son of Jesse, in that you've given him bread and a sword and have inquired of God for him so that he's risen up against me to lie in wait as it is this day?" And then Ahimelech answered the king, "Who among all your servants is so faithful as David, who's the king's son-in-law and captain over your bodyguard and honored in your house? Is today the first time that I've inquired of God for him? No. Let not the king impute anything to his servant or to all the house of my father, for your servant has known nothing of all this, much or little." So the high priest says, "I don't understand why what I did with David was out of bounds. I've certainly inquired of God for him more than once when he was going on to a military maneuver. He's your son-in-law. He's the captain of your bodyguard. You have used him to your benefit for years. So I don't know and don't understand what you're talking about. Evidently, the flight of David was not as widely known just yet. Verse 16, the king said, "You shall surely die, Ahimelech, and all your father's house." And the king said to the guard who stood before him, "Turn and kill the priests of he who is, because their hand also is with David, and they knew that he fled and did not disclose it to me." So he summarily condemns all of these priests, the high priest and all of his subordinate priests, as traitorous persons guilty enough to be executed on the spot. And he orders his soldiers, kill them. Now, the servants of the king would not put out their hand to strike the priests of he who is, because they look at these priests as representing the divine creator. And you don't go around killing the anointed ones of God, because all of these priests have on their bodies the holy anointing oil put there to designate them as God's servant. So these priests are very hesitant, and appropriately so, to be guilty of killing God's priest. Verse 18, then the king said to Doeg, you know, the guy that just ratted David out, "You turn and strike the priests." And Doeg the Edomite turned and struck down the priests, and he killed on that day 85 persons who wore the linen ephod. So Doeg the Edomite executes 85 priests, including the high priest. And then, apparently at the command of King Saul, he goes to the city of Nob to execute all of their families and to destroy all their stuff, because they're all guilty, as far as King Saul is concerned, of treason. Verse 19, and Nob, the city of priests, he put to the sword, both man and woman, child and infant, ox, donkey, and sheep, he put to the sword. So Doeg has now kind of been promoted into the army as the avenger of the king, the executioner of the king. And he kills off all the current administration of priests. And probably King Saul appoints a new high priest as his pet priest, someone that he feels he can trust, someone that's not part of this whole group that had betrayed him, so to speak, in his mind at least. So he does not manage to get everyone of this family line killed off, though. And by the way, this is the descendants of Eli, the priest, the high priest, back at the time of Samuel. And there was a curse put on them that they would all die early and die very often in a horrible fashion. So that's happening just exactly as God predicted. Verse 20, but one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. So this young priest gets away, and then through whatever means he can, he finds out where David is, out there in the forest, and he's brought to David. Verse 21, Abiathar told David that Saul had killed the priests of he who is. And David said to Abiathar, "I knew on that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he would surely tell Saul. I have occasioned the death of all the persons of your father's house. Stay with me, Do not be afraid, for he who seeks my life seeks yours. With me, you shall be in safe keeping. So this is how the son of the high priest becomes the priest of David's group. He is now kind of the high priest in exile. And they are all in that forest of Helot that I was telling you about earlier. This brings us to chapter 23, where David is told, "Behold, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah and are robbing the threshing floors." Okay, so this helps us again with our chronology, because harvest time begins for barley immediately after Passover. And so that's the first month of the year. And then that goes on for the next couple of months, and then the wheat harvest begins. And that goes on for a couple of months as well. So we're somewhere in that time after the first month, maybe into the second, third, or fourth month. And the Philistines are up to their old habits. They wait until the Israelis have harvested and processed some of their grain, and then they push into the borderlands of Judea and up in Dan and Ephraim, places that they can get to very rapidly. And they start stealing that grain and start stealing anything else, maybe wool and some of the other products that the Israelis have in storage. Maybe even capture some of the Israelis as slaves. Now, Keilah is just a few miles south of Adullam. It is easy, one day's trip from the walls of Gath. So the Philistines have pushed in for this raiding of the Israeli grain crops, and David has been told about that. Now, David, in years past, has responded in force to these invasions as the military leader amongst the Israelis. So he feels that he really ought to do something about this, because it's only a few miles from where he's at right now. Verse 2, "Therefore David inquired of he who is." So he uses the high priest that has come to him with the ephod, which means he's got the uniform of the high priest with the Urim and the Thummim in the pocket behind the high priest chest piece. So David asks the high priest to inquire of God, "Shall I go and attack the Philistines?" And he who is said to David, "Go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah." So the answer is yes. Go and do it. Now David's men said to him, "Behold, we were afraid in Judah. How much more if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?" So his warriors, who are only a few hundred, say, "David, we're hiding out here because we're on the run from the Israeli army under King Saul. Why are we going to now leave our hiding place and go out and try to take on the Philistines?" Then David acquired of he who is again. He tries to show to his people, this is a God thing. And so he who is answered him, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will give the Philistines into your hand." So now his men have seen this question. Will you give us the Philistines in victory? And the answer is yes. Verse 5, David and his men went to Keilah, and they fought with the Philistines and brought away their livestock and struck them with a great blow. And so David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. So David is going to continue functioning as Israel's protector, as much as God allows him to do so, while still trying to stay out of the way of King Saul. Verse 6, when Abiathar, he's the new high priest, the son of Ahimelech, had fled to David to Keilah, he had come down with an ephod in his hand. That's the uniform that I told you about. Now, it was told Saul that David had come to Keilah. And Saul said, And Saul said, God has given him into my hand, for he has shut himself in by entering a town that has gates and bars. So David is apparently staying at Keilah after the victory there for at least a few days. The news gets back to Saul, who's about a day's march away to the northeast. And Saul summoned all the people to war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. And David knew that Saul was plotting harm against him. He said to Abiathar the priest, bring the ephod here. And David then said, oh, he who is the God of Israel, your servant has surely heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city on my account. Will the men of Keilah surrender me into his hand? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? Oh, he who is the God of Israel, please tell your servant. So he asks a couple of questions, and God answers both. He will come down. So yes, Saul is coming. Verse 12, then David said, will the men of Keilah surrender me and my men into the hand of Saul? So will the people who I have just saved from the Philistines and saved their stuff, will they give me up to King Saul? And he who is said, they will surrender you. Isn't that shocking? And David and his men, who were about 600, arose, departed from Keilah, and they went wherever they could go.